see Simon.
Okay, that's that should be fine.
And 1982.
This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Dr. Arthur Simon. Well, Dr. Simon, why don't you tell us how you first came to Decatur?
Well, I came up here in 1929 at the invitation of my late partner, Dr. I.H. Niece. He was a prominent citizen, former past president of the Illinois State Medical Society. After the death of his former partner, Dr. Robert Morris, in the late 20s, he invited me to come up. And I told him after talking with my lovely wife, Loretta, that I'd be glad to come, but we decided we'd like to get married and have a honeymoon before we came up.
Wow.
Which, not along with came up here in 29, just before the big market crash.
Yes, 29 is a memorable year.
Well, that time.
Well, you were just beginning your practice then?
I just finished a residency in St. Louis with Dr. Bransford Lewis and Dr. Grayson Carroll. They're both past presidents of the American Urological Society.
That was quite a compliment for Dr. Niece to invite a young doctor to share his practice, wasn't it?
I thought it was a good opportunity. But after the market crash, we wondered about it. Money was scarce.
And I suppose doctor bills can be put off if people don't have money.
Yes, we swapped. We enjoyed a lot of chickens and eggs. And one fellow offered me a 3 or 4 year old bull in payment of his surgical fee, but I thought, well, I'd rather have him owe me than to eat that bull. But that swapping program worked pretty well because at that time the dime store clerks were earning $7 a week.
So at least you had something to eat.
They had nothing to go on.
Right.
And that history is given pretty well here by Dr. Heitz's and Nietzsche's bibliography.
Well, why don't you tell us about it?
He was asked to give that by Dr. Kiefer, and he said the specialty of urology in the most part was a result of the prevalence of venereal diseases during the close of the First World War, 1918 and 19. Returning soldiers, it was prevalent. And he was not in the Army, but he was in the Public Health Service. And at that early stage, venereal disease was rampant and occupied most of our time. What can now be cured, gonorrhea, by a shot of penicillin given by a nurse and a cure overnight, used to take a couple of months. The treatments at that time, antibiotics, were not known. Goes on with smiled about my coming up here in Decatur, and it proved to work out very well. Delightful town, we loved it.
Well, you really had a marvelous practice here.
Yes, it worked out very well. IH, as I called him then, and I were doing the whole chore of urology, and subsequently other urologists came in, and I did have at one time residency in a training specialist in urology. That was in the 40s under the jurisdiction Decatur Memorial Hospital, and Dr. Patrick McVary, who's practicing in Springfield now, and Dr. L.L. Lou Unger, who's retired, Dr. Keith Niece, who's the son of my former partner, who died last August in 81.
So you do remember some of these early doctors who practiced?
Oh, here? Yes, I had a list of some of the older men back here, which I'll give you a list of them. It's okay. Interesting.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of them.
Here's a list of the presidents and vice presidents that I picked up somewhere. That list, there's some great names there. They largely departed. I was president of the society in 1942. And I was past president of the staff. But this is a list of the presidents that I found. Dr. Zink Sanders in 1927. He was a fine nose and throat man, died here a year ago. Clayton Woodward, he's a fine old gentleman, a father-in-law of Dr. Babur, who's gone too. McDavid, McClellan, Clyde Ternan, Ray Ternan, Bill Rose, my H. niece, Hayes, McLean, Dean Stanley. I have a nice little article written by him, which I'll give you.
That's fine.
You might look
very
over
good.
There. C.E. Bell, recently ceased. D.D. Smith, who was a great obstetrician, delivered both of our children. Sam Wagenseller, great surgeon. Wilkinson, who's lying in the Americana nursing home now with a stroke. Goodyear, gone recently. C.R. Smith, H.G. Burstein, Vernon Long, Fred Ferguson, Pence. These are all the friends and associates of mine to refer me a lot of patients. I've lost these referrals now. I'm back where was when I came here and I looked at these older men and palled around, looked at them with respect, palled around with the younger group. This older group is about gone. And,
would you say
the younger group is associating like I did then? They pal around together. They do most of the work. They should do that.
Would you say there are any characteristics that might distinguish these older men from today's doctors?
Oh, they have great personalities. They find surgeons, and to go through their individual histories would be extensive. Used to be some old stories about them, some of the competition about the old general practitioners out there in the town. Remember one story they tell about two of them, I won't mention their names, but they decided to change doctors, and a new doctor came in, and he looked at the bottle of medicine. He says, "Oh my God," he says, "are you taking this medicine from Dr. Sully?" He says, "Well, it's terrible." He says, "Throw it out." He says, "No, wait a minute, go get it." He says, "Don't let the chickens have it, they'll all die." So the serious side of it, of course, has changed at the time.
Did these men make house calls?
They did. They made house calls and took care of a lot of problems back then before the days of the antibiotics and the radiation therapy and the cancer treatments that we have available today.
They probably did some psychological curing, too, of the family, if they called the homes.
I think most of these men were friends of their patients and had the confidence of their patients. Mm-hmm. And if it came to a psychological or psychiatric problem, as a confident advisor, they could probably a little closer to them than a modern psychiatrist is finding possible right now.
Well, you probably worked very closely with the hospitals, too, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us something about the hospitals and the work you did with the hospitals?
The hospitals at that time were so primitive in modern standards. You take the economics for one thing. You talk about the changes. At that time, they would have an orderly work full-time for his board and room and $65 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd put in long hours and be available and do a lot of menial duties. Nurses were unknown. What they call 24-hour duty. They'd sleep what they could and while they were taking care of the patient. They'd cook his meals for him.
In the hospital?
Yes. Some of them. And then, of course, they had the other meals that were served, but the nurses did a lot of cooking. And a good cook was a very desirable nurse, along with their nursing facilities. I can recall looking over an old bill here some years ago where a little small private room down in what's the basement of the hospital now was had a charge of $4 a day.
Uh-huh.
They talk about now about the increase in costs. Well, you take an orderly working for his board and $65 a month in a hospital room at four and no x-ray facilities such as we have now. Our specialists full-time. We had very few radiologists in town, one in each hospital. Now they've got four or five at each hospital.
Now both St. Mary's and Decatur Memorial were in use operation at that time.
Well, yes, when I got here, Memorial Hospital had just been built up. St. Mary's had preceded it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know those old stages, but the hospitals and the medical society in this town and county have always been compatible. There had never been a bitter rivalry such as exists in some other communities. Our doctors are all friends, whether they do most of the work at one or the other hospital. Our hospitals now have always are using the facilities of each place to their advantage. For instance, cobalt is supplied by Memorial. St. Mary's will transfer a cancer patient to Memorial for his cobalt treatment. The CAT scan is available at St. Mary's, and Memorial will send the patient over there for use of that facility without duplicating that tremendous cost of duplicate equipment.
Makes it easier for doctors to have a good feeling between the hospitals.
It's very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a third hospital then?
Wabash Employees Hospital.
Can you tell us something about
which
that?
Which has been abandoned. Yes, that was quite an active hospital back then. I came into duty on the staff there, and the Wabash Railroad had branches in Detroit, Moberly, Missouri, and Omaha, St. Louis, Chicago, and I'd received patients without any reservations. They'd just send them down to the Wabash Employee Hospital, and sometimes spend the entire day doing surgical work there with patients that were just shipped down, come in, and required extensive care.
Was this service given to the railway man as a part of
yes.
the recompense?
Yes, it was an employee's hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Had a, I guess, one of the forerunners of socialized medicine in which they paid their dues and received their hospital care and medical care.
Did you care?
Sorry.
For the families of the men, or just the men themselves?
Just the men. Mm-hmm. Serve very good food over there. We have some fine nursing staff.
Did that close when the Wabash Railroad was sold?
Yes, hold it up then.
The hospitals certainly have provided a great help to the city of Decatur.
Yes, we have the TB hospital, you know, has been closed since tuberculosis has been practically wiped out with the modern drugs and antibiotics.
Yes, one of the great advances of medicine.
Well, it's been terrific, and they don't need it anymore. And we have the contagious hospital where they put a lot of the contagious diseases of the children, you know. But that's all changed. That's closed with the advent of the antibiotics.
They don't even put up signs on houses now the way they used to years ago when families had contagious diseases.
We certainly don't.
Dr. Simon, there must be many changes in surgical procedure and facilities and so on since you started practicing.
Yes, I can recall the early stages of surgery. Amphitheaters were located on the top floor of the hospital so that we could get daylight coming in through a skylight. Along with that came the hot sun and perspiration. And a nurse would come around with a towel soaked in ice water and mop our feverish brows or hanging on our necks. And she was the most welcome soul. We had quite a discussion about new hospital lights, I think, whether the hospital could afford to pay $500 for one. Now, I suppose they pay $5,000 to $10,000 for new lamps, which are marvelous, which provide excellent light, no shadows, and the air conditioning has replaced the mopping of the brow with the ice towel and the perspiration. Equipment has improved remarkably. The lamps in our cystoscopic diagnostic equipment were run by a battery, a feeble little tiny lamp about the size of a grain of wheat. Mm-hmm. Now we have fiber optics in which a brilliant, dazzling light is transmitted by a glass fiber which transmits the light through a cord which can be turned in coils, and the light's transmitted through that fiber to the subject. So the lighting facilities and the powerful anti-cancer treatment linear and cobalt and has replaced the old X-ray therapy, which used to produce a lot of skin burns. Now our deep therapy gets down to the cancer without anything, and the antibiotics and the oral anti-cancerous drugs are tremendous. They're curing cases that we used to consider incurable, very malignant diseases. Wilms tumor, which occurred mostly in children, tumor of the kidney, very, very few were ever cured by surgery. Now they don't even operate on them, give them anti-cancer treatment, and end up with a cure. Well, they're just a few of the advances that have taken place.
Well, Dr. Simon, you've talked to about some of the older doctors and about people, the doctors who have practiced here in Decatur. What about the young doctors who are coming on?
We are very fortunate in obtaining a large group of fine, young, well-trained men in all the specialties, and also in a new residency program out at Memorial Hospital in general practice, which we have a number of residents under the care of Dr. Austin Loney, who is teaching them. And we hope that a large percentage of those men will remain in the surrounding areas. Towns, there's certainly a need for them. The older men have departed. But we have a fine group of excellent, well-trained young fellows.
So you think that although the practice of medicine in Decatur has had quite a fine history, that there is a great hope for the future too?
Yes, it looks very pleasant.
Well, that's really encouraging, isn't it?
I think so. And then, of course, you know, all work and no play doesn't go in medicine. There are some things as hobbies and things that
right.
I've got to do to get away from this drudgery.
What are some of your hobbies?
And hunting and fishing
mm-hmm.
and golf are all enjoyable.
You have to have relaxation to counteract the, I'm sure it takes intense concentration to...
Yes, when a man's on a fishing trip and catches a nice fish or two and has the excitement, he cleans his mind of a lot of the drudgery and a lot of the problems that beset us.
And I'm sure you had a great help with your family, too, your family background, family life.
Yes, my latest hobby is a position of great-grandfather.
Oh, great. That's fine.
I like that very much, to hold this little 2-month-old great-granddaughter and watch her begin to smile and chirp and grow up. And it's very interesting. Doesn't seem very long since her mother was just a little newborn babe.
And who knows, she may grow up to be a doctor, too.
Well, don't know what they'll end up, but you wonder what the future is for our youngsters here with the turmoil that's ahead. I hope they end up. I'd like to leave them a little better world than we find right now. But son says, "Oh, you and Mom got through it all right. We'll get through this too."
Well, I hope they have as rich and full a life as you and Mrs. Simon have had. We thank you very much for sharing your reminiscences with us, Dr. Simon.
Thank you. Nice talking with you.
You have been listening to Dr. Arthur Simon telling some of his experiences in the medical field in Decatur. This is Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library.